Welcome back to Here's the Thing with Mark Cotton
and Brianna Janelle. Friends, how many of us have them? I'm really interested to talk about friendships today.
Okay.
But just from the perspective of what's healthy and what's not healthy. Okay. I think that friendships are really pivotal. And I think that we choose our friends based upon good criteria at times, sometimes bad criteria. Sometimes we're stuck with friends that we met when we were at our low places. We don't know how to get rid of them. If we're being honest about it, so there's some friends that you had from back in the day and you're at a different place in your life and you're just like, they've been around for so long. So there's no need to get rid of them now. But I guess my question, because I'm just, I'm interested. How do you perceive friendships to be? What is your ideal good friendship? What does it look like?
That is a really broad question. So to broadly answer, in studying friendship recently for my book that is coming out.
Plug. She has a book coming out. What's
Wow.
Oh, sorry. Too much?
Yeah.
Too much? All right, cool. I'm a fan.
I talk about friendship, and one of the things that God began to show me is Jesus's definition of friendship and how he displayed friendship and how he served his friends and how servitude is a big part of friendship. And so I think that when it comes to friendship, all of our friends serve different areas of our lives, right?
Yeah.
You may have that friend that is the party friend. You may have that friend that is going to pray with you.
Sorry, y'all.
You may have that friend who you always go to for good advice. So I think that friendship always at the baseline is underlining is how is this person serving me and how do I serve them? I think that's how all friendships start.
Servitude should be the prerequisite for friendship.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. I'm about to say, because again,
broad strokes.
Yeah. No, I love that because Jesus says, you guys are no longer servants but friends.
Exactly.
I'm about to say,
it starts as servants.
Right. I'm about to say, and the question just becomes, what is this friend serving in my life? Or what is this person serving in my life that constitutes them as a friend?
Right.
So if you have a problem that you need enabling and that friend or that person supports that thing, it's like they have now become your friend. Because they serve an area in your life that may not be the area that you should be having served. But because they serve it and they serve it so well, it's like, oh, yeah, well, now they're my friend. And I think that that's how we pick our friendships. It's do you serve me not only the way that I need to be served, but the way that I want to be served?
That too. So, yeah, I guess when it comes down to it, even in the way somebody is serving you can really determine whether they need to be in your life or not.
Yeah.
If you are serving my bad habits, if you are serving a part of me that's supposed to be dead and gone.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an indicator that this is probably not the best relationship for where I'm at in life.
Right.
Versus friends who are helping you to get to the next level, who are sharpening you, who are challenging you, like that. I think those are good markers.
But what if it's both? What if it's I have that friend they enable me in bad ways, but they also do want me to advance in certain areas of my life. Maybe not be the best person that God wants me to be, but it's but they still want
an example.
So you have a friend that gets you the hookup on weed, sure. Let's say you're trying to cut out your weed smoking days. You don't want to smoke no more. I'm about to say, but this person, they support this habit and they always have it on them, and you always fall victim to it because I ain't kicked this habit yet.
I've been there.
But then on top of that, they also are still somebody that's trying to push you to be the best person you can be. They're still just let's help achieve your goals. You want to write a book? Let's get your book done. Let's make sure that you're in the gym working out, whatever the case is. I feel like there are some people who do both. And how does one determine that, this friendship isn't conducive anymore, even though it still has good parts? Because I think that sometimes when you really do look at friendships, like, the whole thing isn't bad. Maybe just a part of it's bad. So, like, you know, how do we navigate those joints?
I think that what I'm learning about friendship is that that word is not to be taken lightly.
Yeah.
And I think we throw that term around a lot. And so, you know, we've kind of talked about the importance of friendship and how it's really the most important relationship because it's the one relationship that we get to choose, right? We
don't
Absolutely. Get to choose our parents. We don't get to choose our siblings.
That's so good.
But we get to choose this. And so it's really, really important that we choose the right people to be around us. And, you know, they say that you become, you're like a culmination of the five people you hang out with the most.
Yeah.
So to say that somebody served you in one way but not the other, I guess my question would be, like, do they need to be put in the friend category, or do they are they just an associate?
I think it's even better when you say, like, you know, the whole aspect of friendship is the one thing that you choose. I feel like we dumb down friendship and we try to make it like the bottom tier of the relationship that you can have. So, like, it's like, it's almost like you were my friend, but now you my bro. Like, you know, mm-hmm. now you my sis. And in reality, that's not a promotion. That's a demotion.
Yeah.
According to, like, the way the Bible is, like, you know, like, my Bible says, like, you know, like, hey, like, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So friends have the potential to be closer than blood.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we know that's talking about Jesus, but just holistically, like, you know, like, you have some friends in your life that are closer than probably some of your siblings.
Yes.
I got two brothers. Like, you know, shout out to my brothers. I love my brothers. I about to say, but there are two brothers that I have where I'm just like, I talk to my homeboys and I may talk to some of my friends more than I talk to my brothers. They know more about me than my actual blood brothers do. They are actually sticking closer. So yes. when I give you the, like, when I give you the title of bro instead of friend, like, you know, sometimes that can be seen as a demotion.
Because John 15 and 13 says, there is no greater love
oh, we in the book.
Than
Hold
to
on.
Lay down one's life for one's friend. So if friendship is where we can display the greatest love, to your
right.
point, you know, it's really not on the bottom tier. It's really, like, up there.
Because if I were to die for my child, that's low-key what I'm supposed to do. Like, you know, like it's a great love. Like, you know, thank you. But when John Q was willing to die for his son, there was no, like, you know, like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, like, now, if a random person in the hospital would have volunteered to say, hey, I'll die for him because I'm a friend of his, it would have been like, whoa, like... You just met the guy, like, you're a friend, and you want to die for him. Like, I get the dad dying for a son, because that's the father. So I think that, like, you know, when you look at it, like, again, that scripture, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. It's like, I don't have to, because I chose this.
Right.
I could literally do without dying for you and still be validated in my actions. Because you're just my friend. Like, you know, how many friends do you have that you would die for?
And even you just said it, like, you're just my friend. And I think that that's kind of where society is, where it's just, where we don't really value friendship as much.
I apologize.
But not everybody, obviously. So
right.
I think, but I just, to bring the heaviness, the weight, back to friendship, I think is important.
Yeah. And I think that we got to start just choosing these people wisely.
Right.
Because, again, like Jesus had, I think Jesus had disciples and then he had friends. I think that, like, you know, of the 12, like, you know, Peter, James, and John, those were his friends. Like, it's like, you know, everybody else is like, y'all cool. Like, you know, I rock with y'all. Like, you know, we tight. We in the same circle. And again, there's no scripture to support that. But I see often in scripture where Jesus is taking Peter, James, and John to places where the other disciples can't go.
Yeah.
And I think that that is an extension of, like, hey, like, I'm drawing you guys closer to me in this sense and giving you guys the opportunity to serve me in ways that maybe the other disciples can't. And then from those actions, I can say, you guys are truly my friends.
Yes.
And I think that friends, like you said, they serve and they serve well. Like don't have you that friend that's not serving you, that person that just calls you and you dreading to pick up the phone because you know for a fact it's about to be all about them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you serving them and you're serving them well. So they want to keep you around.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we got to start having clauses in our friendships. Like, hey, like What are you here to do? Are you here to extract or are you here to give? Because it should be both. Yeah. But if you're only here to do one or the other, then, or you, if you're only here to extract from me, but you're not here to give to me, I don't know if I should put you in the friend category.
Have you ever had, like, a friend that you felt like wasn't serving you in a way? Have you ever had to, like, break off friendships?
Yeah. I've had a lot of friends that I had to break off, like, you know, and mainly because I can admit to some of them being a thing where it's like, hey, maybe some were trying to tell me things that I didn't or I wasn't able to receive in that moment. Mm. So I took it like, oh, you're disrespecting me. You're violating me. You're like, you know, you're going against what I want for me. And I can't have that. And the problem with that is I don't see healthy friendships where they allow you to be less than what you're called to be. That's or they allow you to settle for less than what you're supposed to be. Yeah. Friends are supposed to challenge you. Jesus challenged the disciples often.
So you let a friend go because they challenged you?
Absolutely. I was immature. Absolutely. And I if you put me back in that same scenario, probably with the mindset that I have now, I low key would probably do the same thing. But I said, like, you know, like not that I haven't learned from it. It's just like, you know, I think that sometimes facing the music is tough. Sometimes somebody telling you something about you that you need to hear is rough. And now I had to mature and sober up and say, can I receive what you're saying as guidance and as wisdom? And I think that, again, like, you know, I will also say that your approach matters. As a friend, I think that there is a level of intimacy that we obviously are going to share.
Yeah.
So with that level of intimacy, you know what buttons to not hit just for the sake of trying to get a rise out of me either. So I think that, like, you know, in certain cases, yeah, you can tell me what I need to hear, but do it in a respectful way. Like, do it in a way that, like, you know, we both have agreed to is the okay way to speak to each other.
You kind of just mentioned something and I kind of want to piggyback off of, and it's that friendship gives access.
Yeah.
To, like, parts that, you know, maybe aren't supposed to be exposed to the world, or parts that are just intimate and private.
Yeah.
I think that that's like, your friends should also be vaults, you know, in a lot of different ways. And so I think it's dangerous to, again, call just anybody a friend.
Because y'all friends some chatterboxes. y'all friends can't wait. Y'all friends can't wait to get off the phone with you so they can call somebody else and be like, yo, guess what this person just told me?
And are those really your friends?
At that point in time, like, you know, I don't think they are. Exactly. I about to say, because you're, like you say, you're not a vault. You're not able to keep me safe. In friendship, I should be able to find safety. Like, you know, the thing that I love, like, you know, and we're reading Job right now, I about to say. So, like, you know, we're seeing, like, you know, Job's friends sit with him and how these moments are going. Now, we know ultimately what happens. For those who don't know, read Job. I don't want to spoil it for you. I about to say, but, like, you know, these friends go and they just sit. And they sit with Job and they talk and they converse with him. And they try to, like, you know, just they try to understand what he's going through. And they mourn with him. And they just allow him to vent. And what I don't see is their friends leaving Job's presence and saying, yo, guess what happened to Job today?
Yeah.
Like, Job over here dealing with this, that, and the third. Like, you know, they literally just sit in his, and they just allow him to just pour.
That's one of the things that I've had to learn as a friend, is that sometimes people are not coming to you for a solution.
Wow, yeah.
Sometimes they just want to vent. They just need a good ear.
Yeah.
Especially someone that they know are not going to have all their business in the streets. And I'm very, like, solution minded. I'm very, like, if you are coming to me, it's because you want the problem to be fixed.
And do your friends know that about you?
Yes, but I've also tried to change that. Like, okay. I start, like, hey, you know, can I talk to you? I just need to vent. Okay, you know what I mean? Or if they're telling me something, I can listen and say, are you just venting or do you actually want my opinion or my feedback? Absolutely. That's something that I had to learn.
I have one friend that does that.
In my adult friendships.
Yeah, I have one friend that literally does that. I'll call him and I'll vent and he'll be like, do you want me to respond or do you want me to just listen?
Right.
And it's a safe space because he literally allows me to just pick. And he knows that if I pick, I want you to respond, he's going to give me the real deal. Like, you know, like even if he may even validate my feelings, but he won't allow my feelings to be in the event that they need to be, like, you know, spoken against. Like, he's not going to enable me if I'm doing something wrong.
That's
right. So, like, you know, I think that that's important. And I think that we had to learn as the recipient, the friend that's receiving it, we got to learn how to navigate those situations. Like, hey, you may not want my expertise right now. Like, you may not even want the Bible right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, you know, like I promise you there will be an opportunity for the Bible to be presented. But in this very moment, can I validate my feelings? Like, don't try to shut down my feelings with scripture. I don't like that.
That's good.
Because people do that. And they think that they're being helpful by giving you the solution or giving you, like, you know, the thing. But again, like, lamenting is a thing. Sometimes I just need to yell. I just need to scream. I just need to let it out.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that I'm denouncing God. It doesn't mean that I don't believe that the word is true. But, like, you know, when I, like, imagine somebody dying in your family, and I'm not laughing at this, but I'm just saying, like, from the perspective of friends trying to help each other out. Okay. Imagine somebody dying in your life, and the guy said, "Oh, we know God's gonna give you double for your loss." I don't thank you, Job, but I don't need that right now. I'm about to say, right now, I need a space where I can say I'm in pain.
Yeah,
I'm in mourning. My Bible says, "Mourn with those who mourn." Like, you know, like, you know, like in those moments, it's like I don't need, and we use that just for deaths. But sometimes I'm mourning the loss of a job. I'm mourning just, like, you know, not being in lockstep with God in this area of my life or whatever case it is. Sometimes I just need you to sit and mourn with me.
Yeah.
Do you have the discipline to say, hey, I'm here? And I think that, like, you know, that's the sign of a mature friend.
For sure.
Somebody that can just be like, yo, I'm just here. Whatever you need. Really mean it. So, yeah. So I've absolutely, like, you know, going back to your question, I've absolutely, like, you know, let go of friendships because of the way that those moments have been presented. And again, I can admit that it was probably a bit of immaturity on my part. Mm-hmm. But I can also say in hindsight that your approach to problems matters.
I can see that.
Like, I don't, like I said, like, you know, I think that, like, you know, when you, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rebuke me for my anger.
Right.
And people do that. People, like, you know, make it seem as if you're angry, then you have a lack of faith. Or, like, you know, like, you really don't trust God in this area. Or, like, do you really believe that God said, yes, I do, but I'm angry. Like, you know, like, that's okay to be angry. Like, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I love friendships from a holistic standpoint because friendships, again, as you said, are the one thing that we choose. And it really is a gauge of who you are.
Yes. Like, you are a reflection of who you are, I think.
Who do you surround, like, and you ain't got to drop no names, but do you find yourself acting like your friends sometimes?
Oh, for sure. You take on their vernacular, you take on mannerisms, ways of thinking.
Do you have an example of, like, one of the funniest things that you've taken on from somebody that wasn't you before, but is you now? And it's almost like
you're
like,
I probably do it and just do it subconsciously.
Right. I about to say, like, you know, like I am very, I'm very dry. Like, I have a dry sense of humor. Like, you know, like, it's not like, you know, a lot of slapstick comedy with me. Like, I'm going to say things bluntly and I can find it funny. And the interesting thing is that I had a friend that was a big fan of The Office.
Okay.
And The Office is a lot of blunt, dry, like, you know, humor. Dry humor.
Yeah.
And we will often exchange moments like that where we will look at the invisible camera like, like, every time something would happen, like, you know, and now, like, you know, like, I find myself sometimes to this day being by myself, like, you know, like, you know, like, something would happen, I just find the invisible.
Oh, no, that's funny.
Like, you know, like, because, like, it's obviously funny from the show, but it's also something that, like, I took on as the indicator that we had this friendship. So where we had a friendship, where we were in person with each other, like, you know, we'd be looking at each other from across the room, like, if something happened, just like. Like, you know, like, so, like it's funny to be able to find yourself taking on personality traits of your friends. And it's also something to be aware of.
Yeah.
Because the longer you hang around the wrong person, best believe you're going to take on their traits too. I'm about to say, and if you can't think of any good things, like, you know, and not to put you on blast, but what bad things have you picked up from friends or people that were friends at one point in time?
That's how I started smoking weed early on. Was my friends.
Oh, wow.
The people I was hanging around.
So nothing that you were really interested in prior to?
Mm-mm.
And what was it? Just like a old girl hit this? Like?
Pretty much.
That's how, I mean,
and I seen them like turn to it on stressful days or something, and that's like, oh, this is a stress reliever. So when I have stressful days, now I'm like, go ahead.
Go hit this blunt.
Yeah.
No shame over here. I better say, but that's how, but we see how deceptive the enemy can even be in putting us sometimes in the wrong circle and giving us access to the wrong people.
So let me ask you this. Like, do you feel like it's possible to be friends with someone where you guys don't necessarily have the same beliefs?
Religious beliefs or?
That or just, you know.
In general?
In general, like.
Whew, a touchy topic. Okay, so let me just start my disclaimer by saying, I believe that friends come in all different shapes and sizes.
Okay.
I believe that what is a friendship to you may not be a friendship to me, but again, because it's a servitude thing, or at least it should be based upon servitude, this person may serve an area in your life that may need attention, mm-hmm. even though their beliefs don't line up with yours. Mm-hmm. I would say to be careful with anybody that doesn't believe what you believe from a moral standpoint, from a religious standpoint, because after a while, like you say, you start to become small parts of the friends that you hang around.
I mean, can you even go to those friends for advice if they don't have the same moral standards or religious values?
I personally would not. And I understand, like, I have, to not use the word friend loosely, I have gay associates, people that are not, like, you know, Christians, people that are not that don't believe what I believe, Muslims, 5%ers, like, you know, I have people that I can talk to, that I can, like, you know, have conversations with,
yeah.
that know me. We have a relationship. Like, you know, would I consider them my friends? Maybe not, but I can actually consider having a conversation with them about a topic.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and act as if they haven't said things to me that have been inspiring, that have been helpful in ways, that have been beneficial. But what I had to realize and what I had to take into consideration is that when it's almost like, you know, like chew the hay, spit out the sticks.
Okay.
It's like you take the good that comes from them, because I believe that God can use anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so there may be something that I need in somebody that may not believe what I believe. Like, you know, like, let's look at and this is the problem, and this. It's not necessarily about friendship, but can tie into it. Jesus has a conversation with a woman at the well that does not believe what he believes, that does not have the same background religiously, that does not have the same core values, because she's a Samaritan woman. Okay. Samaria had its own stigma to it. It had its own principalities that were attached to that area, that culture. He was a Jew. So Jews and Samarians are beefing, and he has a whole conversation with her, and this conversation turns into something fruitful. I think that we rob ourselves of an opportunity to be used if we feel as if we can only associate ourselves with people that believe what we believe.
Yes, I agree.
Jesus literally made, when you read the story in context, the Bible says that she, after Jesus has this whole conversation with her, says, yeah, man, like, you know, if you knew who I was, you asked me for living water, X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, yeah, like, you know, she's like, oh, well, like, you know, you sound like the Messiah. He says, I am he. She goes back to her town and says, yo, like, you know, could this guy be the Messiah? He's told me everything about me. And then the Bible says that she brings dang near the whole town and they spend time with Jesus for a couple of days, and they say, we now believe that he's Messiah, not just because you told us, but because we've experienced it for ourselves. Sometimes what people that don't believe what you believe need an experience with you. To believe, to understand what you believe, to actually, like, you know, come in contact with what you believe, to the point where they may be changed.
Yeah.
These people did not believe what they what Jews believe until after a conversation with Jesus, until after a couple of days. You don't know what the power of conversation for a couple of days can do.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't negate people that, like, oh, you don't believe what I believe? Okay, cool. I do apologetics. I talk to people all the time that don't believe what I believe. Mm. And I might find out that you are a good business person.
Yes.
That you actually, like, you know, have strong core values in the way that you structure your day.
Right.
Like, you know, like you have, like, you know, healthy habits on discipline or whatever the case is. I can glean from you in those areas. Again, would I call you a friend? Would I consider you somebody that I would, like, you know, like, I have advice on dating and I want to know what you, what your thoughts are, but you believe in polygamy. That's probably not the person that I would recommend you go to. But just because you don't believe what I believe, that doesn't automatically, like, you know, count you out as somebody being valuable in my life.
Do you think the verse that says, how can two walk together lest they agree applies to friendship then?
It can. I'm about to say, I believe that the Bible has scriptures that have a plethora of revelations and can apply to a plethora of things.
Yeah.
But I think that the problem that I have with that scripture is that people think that agreement is the only way
mm-hmm.
to be able to walk together. Yeah. And when you are really, like, you know, conscious of your lifestyle, how many people do you not agree with on the daily that you walk with
yeah.
on the daily?
Yeah.
Even in your relationship with God, I don't always agree with the decisions that he makes.
Ooh.
I don't always agree with the things that he has me to do.
Ain't that the truth?
But I still walk with Christ. Why? Because I can at least admit that maybe my perspective isn't the one I should be leaning to right now.
Yeah.
I want people in my life that don't agree with me. I want people in my life that can tell me, like, yo, like, you out of pocket. Like, you're not really in lockstep with what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Even if I don't agree, tell me what I need to hear. And I think that, like, you know, when we read that scripture out of context, and now we manipulate the scripture to say, oh, you're not agreeing with me, we can't be friends. I can't be associated with you. Oh, I can't talk to you. I can't date you. I can't marry you because we don't agree. You're not going to agree with your wife and your husband all the time.
That's real.
But, like, you know, you created your friendships contingent upon agreement.
Hmm.
And that's dangerous because now what you run the risk of doing is surrounding yourself with yes men.
Right. And as soon as there's a disagreement, now the whole relationship.
Boom. We're not friends no more.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't give me what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't satisfy my flesh. Like, get you some friends that's going to challenge you.
Yeah.
Like so for you, I would ask, do you feel, because it very well could be an age thing too, because we probably have a large demographic, right? Do you feel like you made the best decisions for friendships when you were younger versus where you are now? And when I say younger, I mean like college. Like, you know, college days, like, you know, the first time that you really get to do something without parental supervision. Like, you know, like, do you feel like you made good decisions on friendships then versus how you are making them now? And if not, then what's the difference?
I think that in college, you're still really young, so you're still basing a lot of your friendships on commonality, right?
Right.
You're from California, I'm from California. You know, let's be friends type of thing.
Right. Commonalities.
Because I went to school out of state. So I think that that was the basis of a lot of my friendships.
Okay.
Earlier on, in my adult years, I think that some of my closest friends do share the same faith as me.
Okay.
And I think that's been really important in helping me to grow spiritually, to have people that will cover you spiritually. You know, when I'm going through certain spiritual attacks, like, my close friends, they're like a call away and we about to go to war. You know what I
right,
mean?
Right, right.
And so I think that there is something to doing life and walking with someone.
Our dog just started playing with a balloon, the loudest toy that she could have played with.
Who you share a commonality with this? So I guess it hasn't changed that much in that way. I just tend to value different things, right? I'm not going out as much partying, but I like to cook and stuff, so I like having different... I feel like I'm rambling, but basically it's the same thing.
I got you. I'm about to say, so with that being the case, do you feel like maturity is a prerequisite for picking good friends?
Not necessarily.
Because I guess the biggest
I still have a friend from like first grade.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That we've been able to grow together over the years and good. Not grow apart. So I think, again, I think as long as you have certain morals intact, I think that that kind of will help to carry any relationship, really. Right. But yeah.
Okay, I'm about to say, so I think it's safe to say that alongside with, like, you know, things of life or whatever, like, you know, friendships help shape and mold us into the people that we are today.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
It's like on my mind. Do you think that you have to be friends with your significant other first? Or is that kind of like, as long as we have the same goals and we're feeling each other, we can make this thing work?
Here's my thing. So when it comes to significant others, this is a really good segue. When it comes to significant others, I think that friendship is vital.
Okay.
Because the romance may not always be there.
That's real.
The affectionate love and stuff may not always be there. But I think what is necessary is, hey, I'm here to serve you. You're here to serve me. We have a goal. Relationship is a compound word. Relationship, it means it is relation to people, ship going somewhere. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in a relationship with you, it's like we have to be on the same page with the same destination in mind. Now, we may not always agree on how to get there, but I can digress to myself and serve you in a moment and say, okay, look, I'm going to trust you in this. And then you can digress to yourself and serve me in a moment and say, okay, cool, I trust you to leave me here, or whatever the case may be. When you're on a boat, or when you're on a ship, you can't have two captains going into two different directions. About say, and I think that, like, you know, you start to develop those habits when friendships aren't there. Like, because as a friend, I can trust you. I can trust you to lead in a moment as a friend. Like, as a significant other, I'm not picking you from the standpoint of, and some do. I don't think that we should just be picking solely just predicated upon you're cute. Mm. Like, oh, you got money. Oh, like, you know, you can you can pray the house down. Like, you know, like those things are cool. Like, you know, like, those things are really.
But even in the same breath, like, I know you said that, you know, with relationships, you guys should have the same goals and should be going to the same place.
Sure.
Is that applicable to just your regular friendships as well?
It can be, but I think, because I'm not living with you, like, you know, you can go into a different direction,
yeah,
and we can still be friends.
Okay.
But I think when you're with your spouse, it's like, hey, we need to be on the same page everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Like, you're not leaving, and neither am I. We can't go into two different directions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, anything that has two heads is considered a monster. I'm about to say, this is why the Bible says, like, you know, the two shall become one. It don't say that about friendship. Mm-hmm. Friendship is like, y'all can be individuals, like, you know, yeah, that's cool. But when you get married, it's like, no, the two become one. So our friendship now, in my opinion, our friendship now has to become, like, you know, a solid thing to fall back on when we have disagreements, when we have moments of feeling like, hey, we're not on the same page. I gotta be able to look at you and say, yo, that's my best friend over there.
Yeah,
like, that's like, I want what's best for her. Like, you know, like, I want to serve her in the best way that I possibly can. I think that that can get lost when friendship is not at the core value of what you have. If you're just in that thing just to extract sex from that person, or just to extract provision from that person. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, you know, this relationship has become about works and become more about, like, you know, what can I get from you and less of what can I do for you? I should consistently, we had this thing, for those who don't know, we are dating. But we had this thing where I always like say, like, yo, how can I serve you today? Like, how can I serve you? Like, you know, what can I do to serve you on today? I about to say, I may not say that in a while, but I at least used to say it often. So I'm going to get back to it. So but when I'm asking that question of how can I serve you, I'm asking that question because I'm trying to let you know I'm truly your best friend. I'm truly somebody that's trying to put servitude at the top of this relationship. Because if I'm serving you and you're serving me consistently,
yeah,
who's unhappy? Who's not being served? We may not always get what we want, but I at least know that your heart is to serve me. So in our friendship, like, you know, we go out, we have a good time, we laugh, we joke, we outside, like, you know, we watch, we can sit at a crib and watch TV shows and listen to random songs at 1 o'clock in the morning and just, like, you know, just have a party for ourselves, because our friendship is something where it's like it's pivotal for us.
Yeah,
we don't make the sole base of this relationship, like, you know, romance. Like, you know, like, we can do Bible study together. We can laugh together. We have the same type of sense of humor. Like, these things help carry, because now when I think about, or if you ever think about leaving, it's like, it almost makes you say, like, who can I get this with?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is really my best friend. Like, I really want to kick it with this person every day. Like, I enjoy this person's company. Like, I enjoy them giving me something to laugh about. They get me. They can tell me things that, it's like the body language of, like, you know, like, we could just look at each other and just be weak because we know what we're saying in a moment. Like, that stuff is developed.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of reasons why relationships fail is because they don't have that friendship to fall back on. It's the minute something stops that they were basing their relationship off of is the minute that relationship goes in trash.
That's real. Do you think there's, like, a, I don't know, like, a time... What am I trying to say? Like, do you think it takes a certain amount of time to cultivate friendship? Is it something that can happen overnight? Is it something that, you know, you can't call myself your friend unless we've known each other for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that there should be parameters on your friendships because, again, we just said it's the most important relationship. So don't be just walking around here just calling everybody your friend, your best friend. You met them a day ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, let that thing be, like, you know, tried. I'm not saying that y'all gotta go through the worst thing to be considered friends now, but I'm just saying that, like, sometimes it's like what I did to get you as a friend is not what we do to keep each other as friends.
Hmm.
So what I mean by that is sometimes we can just be friends off of commonality.
Right.
We know somebody that we're both cool with. I know this person, you know this person, and I met you. Yeah. So now we're friends now because I know the same person that you know. Now what happens is life will begin to show you if this person is worth being a friend. Like, now when I start facing some things, I start going through some things, we start having some conversations, if I see that what you're saying and what you're doing is not conducive or healthy for where I'm trying to go, now I realize that this commonality that we have is not strong enough to keep us as friends.
So do you think that, like, certain, like, do you fall into the rhetoric of, like, certain people are in your life for certain seasons? Or
Absolutely. Is
it like, if we're friends, we should be able to do life together forever?
I think human nature is people grow apart. I'm not saying that, like, you know, it's the thing that you look forward to, like, oh, you're only gonna be my life for 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I don't think it's that. I think that it really is a thing of, like, people just grow apart naturally. Like, sometimes it's a career, sometimes it's nothing that you do intentionally, sometimes just, like, my friendship was predicated upon me and you being down the street from each other.
Mm.
Now I moved out of state and we barely talk.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we aren't friends and, like, you know, I hate you and it's beef. It just means that the commonality that we had was the true reason as to why we're friends.
Yeah.
And when you realize that thing, you can try to make it work. But then it's like, you know, you put yourself almost in a box, but now you feel like I'm always extending to you, but you're never calling me. And then, like, you start to get annoyed with the little things of the relationship because it's hard to cultivate something when that commonality is lost.
So I know you said, like, I know you personally and I know you have lost friends.
Yeah.
So would you say that you've had a guard up when it comes to making friends, or are you just kind of neutral, very optimistic? Like, what's your approach to friendship these days?
So this is, I would propose that answer with a question. If you got your house broken into, the intimate space that you share, your dwelling place, and you got it broken into, how would you feel at, like, what are the next steps? Like, all right, it happened.
I'd probably beef up the security.
Beef up the security. So in the same way, I feel like the heart of my friendship, like, you know, was invaded in a lot of ways. Explored it in some. And now I say, you know what? Beefing up the security. Like, you know, like, I'm not, like, you know, and again, we can use scriptures like guard your heart above all things to pervert, like, you know, and almost, like, you know, use it to manipulate our situation. Like, now, like, oh, I'm not making no more new friends because I'm guarding my heart.
Right.
Like, no, that's not what the scripture says. Yeah, no new friends. Like, that's not what the scriptures say. But I do believe that there should be an awareness that if I'm calling you my friend, again, going back to the value of the word, stop downplaying the word friend. But when I look at the friendship from the value that is, I can't just give everybody that title.
Right.
Because what I'm really saying when I'm saying that you're my friend is that I'm giving you access to the inner parts of me to be served.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give that just to anybody.
Right.
I joked with you when I first met you. And of course, like, you know, I was really interested in obviously, like, being with you and stuff. But I told you, like, yo, I'm going to be your best friend in like 30 days. Like, and I don't know what I said.
In like 2 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. Cocky little something.
I knew what was going to happen. I said I was confident that in 2 weeks I'll be your best friend because I just knew what I was bringing to the table. But what I saw from you and what I recognized from you is I'm guarded, and not from a trauma place, not from a place of, like, you know, just not wanting to let anybody in. Just like, I don't know you. So you being promoted to best friend of all things. Let's start with what's your middle name? Like, you know, like, let's.
The feeling was mutual.
Like, and for me, it was like, I had to respect that you had a guard, a safety mechanism that says, I got to protect myself from everybody until I have vetted you. Mm-hmm. Now you can probably say I'm your best friend because I've been through some things with you. I've seen life with you. I've experienced a lot in the time that we've been cool. So now it's like, it's safe to say, yeah, that's my friend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because we've experienced life together. And I think that, like, you know, to the point that we've been making the entire pod, it's like, we got to stop calling everybody friends just because we have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we have a common interest. Just because we both like this show.
Right.
Just because we both wore the same shoes the same day. It's like, our bar for setting friendships is so low. Because we think that friendship really is the bottom tier of relationships.
So you've found it pretty easy to make friends, or?
I'd be
trying. It's
let's talk about you.
Harder for me to make friends. I think even more so in my adult years. I think most of my friends have come from wherever I was working at the time. You know, that just turned into actual friendships that I still hold to this day. But just like, it's not like you can just, I mean, I guess you could just meet people out in the wild.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, to cultivate friendships, it's like you only have so much time in a certain place, unless you're like constantly running into somebody. I think, like, to cultivate friendship these days, it could be a little bit more challenging. Is that just me?
No, I don't think it's challenging. I don't think it's just you. I think that it is challenging to pick the right people to do life with on a consistent basis. Building friendships is hard. And it's like, even when, like, they say don't go into marriage lightly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we should go into friendships lightly either.
Yeah, me
like, either. You know, it really should be something that you take the time to process and really examine. Because I think that if you do something prematurely in thinking that, oh, like, you know, they can be my friend.
Yeah.
And then you start exposing your heart and spilling out all these details about who you are, your personal information. You'll find out that they're really, like, you know, wolves in sheep clothing.
And not even that, like, you, I mean, I think the phrase, you know, birds of a feather flock together. Like, if you start to associate yourself with somebody, you kind of don't really even know them yet, and you're putting titles on things, and they into some old other stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you're automatically going to be associated with whatever that is, 9 times out of 10, just because of who you're out there with. I hope I'm making sense.
No, you are. I'm about to say, like, and this is why we have to be careful and just be guarded when it comes to building friendships. Yeah. It really does take time. It takes cultivation. It takes intimacy. It takes close proximity. I don't want to just have a friend just because we both dark skin. Like, you know, like that. And if we are really honest with ourselves, we have some shadow friendships,
yeah,
based upon the smallest of things.
Yeah.
And we choose to associate ourselves knowing that it's like, this relationship's not really good, but it entertains me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, you know, for the sake of entertainment, it's like, that's not a friend, that's an associate. And we got to be able to know the difference.
That's so true.
For you, and I asked, like, you know, when it comes to building friendships, like, what do you have, like, not necessarily deal breakers, but do you have goals for your friendships? Like, I want this friendship to da-da-da-da-da. Or do you just, like, kind of just go with the flow?
I don't think I approach friendships with that in mind, but if I think about it,
yeah,
I guess my goal for my friendship is for us to grow together when it comes to, you know, spiritual maturity and to just have those iron sharpening iron moments.
Yeah.
Those are, like, the parts of friendship that I treasure the most. And so,
yeah,
if I can have that with you, then, you know, you're a friend that I want to keep around. So
I respect that. And I think that, like, you know, one of the things that I love about our friendship, in the midst of all the romance and stuff, we have a lot of healthy conversations, but our healthy conversations aren't always, I agree with you here, I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our relationship, sometimes our conversations are combative.
Yeah.
So what have you learned, if anything, but what have you learned about even those moments? Because I don't know, like, you know, like, if your previous relationships is like, you know, like, we can't talk about certain things without emotions flaring or whatever the case is. So, like, what have you learned, and what advice can you give to the people about, like, healthy confrontation, like, you know, in friendships, like, you know?
Ooh, well, I personally enjoy seeing how other people think. So I am the type of person that will agree with you, but I'll propose, like,
an opposite, like, you know, perspective.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Just to kind of poke a little bit.
Yeah.
And just for the sake of conversation, I love good conversation. So I think that when it comes to having healthy conversation, it's just being open to other perspectives.
Yeah.
Not taking everything so personally. But that's just always been my approach. I think that that's what makes it easy for us to kind of say whatever we need to say, stand on what we need to stand on,
yeah,
and then be like, so we about to go eat.
Right. I saw that on Rev Run's house a while ago, like, you know, when that was a show on TV, might be showing my age, but he had this thing where he was just like, you know, like, him and his wife could argue and they could, like, be going in, and then as soon as the argument's over, it's like, so what do you want to eat?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because they have an understanding in their relationship that they're not always going to agree.
Yeah.
But that should not affect the way that they love and serve each other.
Yeah.
And I think that when you have reached that place where you're able to love somebody for who they are without allowing that thing to corrupt, like, you know, what y'all have, if it disagrees with the way that you think or the way that you see life, that's healthy.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, it was funny, but, like, one day my mom was listening to a conversation that me and you were having when I went home, and it was like, you know, we were talking about a scripture that we were, mm-hmm, like, kind of debating about, and my mom was like, are you guys okay? And I'm like, yeah, we're fine. Like, you know, like this is a regular Tuesday for us.
Yeah.
Like, we have oftentimes where we don't agree with something. Mm-hmm. But the thing that we've made a healthy aspect of our relationship is that we listen.
Yes.
And I can listen to her from our friendship perspective and say, okay, cool. Like, go ahead and get off what you want to say without me jumping in and trying to.
I'm feeling attacked.
Right. Taking it personal.
Belittled.
Right. Like,
just
I got to be able to.
Challenging your way of thinking.
I think that, like, you know, healthy disagreements is human nature. Like,
yeah.
You know, and it's necessary to be able to trust the person that is telling you, like, hey, I disagree. Like, I'm not going to talk over you. I'm not going to, like, you know, try to belittle you and make you feel like you're wrong. It's like, no, you might have something that I need in this moment. So let me listen to you. And when we look at friendships holistically, friends have things for you because they're there to serve you.
Yeah.
Jesus realized that even though he's 100% God and 100% man, that he needed people around him to serve him. He came to serve, but he also had servants around him. And then from that servitude, he was able to say, because you served me so well.
It's funny because I wasn't always like this. Like, I've had times where I would kind of like, if I feel like I'm right about something and you're wrong,
stubborn,
you're going to see it my way, or you're just not, I don't want to say as smart or as aware, as woke, if you will.
Yeah.
I've argued about, like, the whole flat earth thing versus round earth. I'm like, I was going hard. Well, why are the planets round? This is the only planet that's not, and all the things. But it's been like some evidence where it's like, you know what? Maybe I don't know everything.
Maybe it's a little flat.
You know?
Maybe.
And so I'm a lot more open these days.
Do you know many spheres that have corners? The corners of the earth is what my Bible says.
Listen. So, anyways.
but I hear you, though. I about to say, and I think that's maturity and that's healthy to be able to say, hey, I may not always be right. So let me listen to what you have to say, because that's why you're in my life, to give me something that I may not have been able to get on my own. And I think that when you can look at all your friendships like that, especially in anything that's romantic, it's like, this is healthy. Not only is it healthy, but it's going to help you get to the next stage. Like, I need somebody in my life that's going to develop me.
Yeah.
Like, give me things that I need.
Yeah.
Like, not the things that I just want and desire for myself, but the things that I absolutely need for the benefit of my life.
Right.
So.
This was fruitful.
I think that, like, you know, when we look at friendships holistically, guys, I'm about to say, just from these conversations, it's like, we can all probably choose our friends better. But with the friends that you have, examine them. Yeah. You ain't got to go cut nobody off today. But, like, you know, just be aware that your friendships are important.
Yeah.
Like, they are really, like, who you are. If I want to know who you are, all I got to do is look at your friends.
That's real.
So, another episode down. I'm about to say,
till
we'll see y'all
time.
Next time. Indeed.